And I Quote is bringing you expert-to-expert advice and insights. Our thought-provoking conversations with insurance industry professionals will inspire and educate our listeners on the latest trends and hot topics.
Let's move our industry forward together. The And I Quote podcast is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie is simplifying the way agents work with small business.
Now let's get started.
Welcome, everyone. Today, we're talking to Dustin Bryant, Director of Risk and Insurance Education and Research at the National Alliance for Insurance Education and Research. Your role is a mouthful, Dustin. But Dustin also is a host of Awkward Insurance, a podcast that is super fun. So I'm going to let her plug it herself at some point. But I think you'll understand why she calls it awkward as you listen in today.
Ouch. Wow. All right, podcast over. Kidding. Oh, Bobby, I'm so happy to be here today. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, it is so good to have you. I know we've connected a couple of times over the years, but they were always very like short micro conversations and always kind of in passing at some larger conferences and stuff. So it's good just to sit down and chat and to learn about you and your role. And let's just like dig in, like, talk to us about awkward.
I've got my shovel. Are we burying bodies or are we uncovering something? Just let me know what we're doing and I am good either way.
I think we need to do both. We might have to do that some today.
That's awesome.
Talk a little bit about Awkward Insurance, the brand, how that came to be, your passion behind it. I just love for our listeners to hear that.
Sure. Awkward Insurance came to be. So at the National Alliance, you think my title's a mouthful. At the National Alliance for Insurance Education and Research, which is also a mouthful, we educate. And we have a podcast, Nat Alliance Now, that was their only podcast when I came on board at the National Alliance. And it's kind of industry news. Well, how many of us honestly want to just listen to industry news? Like, raise your hands. Nobody? Bueller? Okay. So they invited me on the podcast a couple of times. I suppose I was just weird enough or maybe sounded different enough. I don't know. They offered me the opportunity to start a podcast. I had zero faith in myself. I still don't know if I have faith in myself, but it's working. So as long as that works, we'll keep going with it. So we sat down and we kind of hypothesized what we were going to do with it. I come from an agency background. The last 15 years of my career have been spent on the independent agent side and in an account manager position, which I strongly advocate for and speak boldly about it being a sales position as well. So many people be like, oh, you're in a service position. Heck, No, I was not in a service position. I was in a sales position and I didn't even have a dedicated producer and we were still making bank. Okay. So I advocate for that position. There's a lot that goes on in that position. I don't want to talk about building the book at all. I want to talk about the reasons why we look at the caller ID on the phone and go, not today, Satan. You know, let's talk about those things. So I said, let's do that. And they're like, yes, let's do that and tie it back to our education in a way. Because at the National Alliance, we do professional education all the way down to the high school level for high school, college, and professional designations, which is where we started, was the professional designation side. But let's connect it to our education somehow. Give like excitement to the world of policy language, which is super exciting to me, but not to most people. So we started thinking about it and I just tend to, I'm sorry, anybody that listens to this podcast will be like, she just won't shut up. That's basically the problem. So I said, you know, it just gets awkward sometimes. I sometimes don't hear what comes out of my mouth until it starts coming. So you're hearing it at the same time I am. And then I stop and go, that was a little, I'm sorry about that. So let's call it Awkward Insurance. They were like, yes, let's do that. I legitimately thought that was setting the bar low. Like, I can overperform, you know, with a title like Awkward Insurance. I will never let anybody down. And lo and behold, that was actually setting the bar pretty high to make it awkward or weird all the time. But I've come to realize here lately, I'm not making any of it up. It's just happening as it goes. So that's the history of Awkward. We started in October 2020 with our first episode, and I think we are a little over 50, maybe close to 60 episodes in. We do about 2 a month for Awkward, and what else do you want to know about it?
So talk a little bit maybe about how it's evolved. So you kind of came into this role, you didn't really know what you're getting into, weren't necessarily confident. How has it evolved over time? And maybe talk a little bit to Dustin about how you choose your topics and how you choose your guests, and what goes, like, how does that come into the Awkward piece?
Yeah.
To keep your brand, right, consistent.
My brand, you know, I saw that in the question set. I was like, brand? It's just me. I don't know that I made any intentional effort to build a brand. Now, the National Alliance does have marketing people, and I've got a whole amazing team of just supporters, and my producer is amazing, and the person that does our marketing and our imaging and our stuff like that, he is amazing as well. So that makes that part of it easy. But podcasting is not my primary role, and where the topics come from just come from my daily interactions, to be perfectly honest with you. So I started at the National Alliance as an academic director, and what that means is that I get to write all the fun, amazing stuff that people learn about with our instructional designers. And as I'm working with subject matter experts in the industry, whether that's our faculty members who are agency owners or producers themselves, we have underwriters as faculty members, all of that kind of stuff, we're talking. And I'm like, this is the funnest topic I've ever talked about, talking about what a vacant dwelling, you know, we're going into stuff like that. And then I go, I really would love to talk to you about this on a podcast. Let's talk about, because this is the stuff that happens in the office. We sit down and we're like, what really is going to happen with this claim? And we just kind of, you know, figure it out along the way. So that's really where the topics have come from, was just in my interactions as an academic director and writing those courses or attending the courses as we audit the courses or listening to participants that call in and they're asking questions, or they give us I don't really know what your experience in the industry is, Bobby, but those moments where you call the underwriter and you're like, so asking for a friend, hypothetically speaking, and you give this whole scenario, well, for some reason, our participants will call us and do the same thing as if we're the ones that are going to issue the non-renewal to their client if they give up who they are, you know? So they'll call in and be like, hypothetically speaking, if somebody had water damage that came from a fire hydrant, you know, and we'll just go through the whole thing. I'm like, well, hypothetically speaking, what state are you in? So that just, we have conversations like that. I think one of the most notable conversations that I have, it connected with me personally. And I was talking with a faculty member about a topic that he was developing for a webinar. And as the academic director, I get to go through his scenarios that he was proposing within his curriculum. And one of them had to do with a foster parent that unfortunately the child had passed away. And there was some dispute in a car accident. And there was some dispute over who gets the death benefit from the policy for that. And as a former foster parent, as an adoptive parent, I went into this conversation with him, and he had a different perspective that he felt was right. But unfortunately, it was legally incorrect in terms of who was the guardian of that child and who was rightfully owed that money, per se. And so we had that conversation. I just was like, we need to have this conversation over a podcast. Yeah. This is stuff that people need to know. And that's where the topics come from, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it's almost like supplementing your like core curriculum, right? Within what you guys have already built, or like, you know, the questions they don't cover in the CIC or CISR program. Like what are the topics that are like kind of that those edge cases?
Yes.
I was an underwriter for the first half of my career, and I got questions all the time on
hypothetically speaking
claim situations.
If we were going to submit business on this, would you approve it? And you're like, I just got an application like that. Was it you? Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. Don't know what you're talking about.
All of the time. Oh, and actually, the funny thing is in those situations, I would just forward my agents to the claims department. I'm like, I'm not quite equipped to answer this question. So why don't you talk
right?
to me?
Right. My goal was just to always get you to answer it in email so that I could attach it to the client's file. Like,
exactly.
I need you on record. I don't let they, let's have a phone call. I'm busy right now. Could you just respond to the email? Thanks. Bye. The evolution of it, I don't know. Have we evolved? Oh, we're still just kind of doing that same thing. Now, I know over time, sometimes we feel like we've gotten off track. It's hard to keep perspective from time to time. So there are times where I sit down with my team, I'm like, it's not feeling right. And that's basically when we start to redirect. It's all a gut feeling for me. If it's not fun, and I say this a lot, if it's not fun, if I'm not connecting to it, if it feels like a chore, I don't want to do it anymore. We'll just end the podcast there. Because it needs to be something that feels right, feels good, feels connected, feels like the right information and the right person at the right time kind of thing. And when we get off track with that a little bit, we go, okay, let's sit down and figure out what isn't feeling right and fix that part of it. And that's kind of how we evolve it from one step to the next.
Yeah. So. Dustin, from an evolution standpoint, how have the industry topics that have been hot changed since you've been doing the podcast? And what do you think 24 is going to look like? What are folks going to be talking the most about? What type of experts are going to be asked to be speaking at conferences this year? Like last fall, we saw a lot on generative AI.
Before that, it was Meta kind of stuff. Before that, it was COVID. Right now we're seeing a lot of conversations on hard market, even though the hard market's been here for a hot minute, it's like, we're not avoiding the elephant in the room anymore. We didn't want to call it a hard market at first because we were, maybe trying to say it wasn't so. So there's a lot of conversations about hard market, but I think in the next year or so, gosh, are we sick of talking about AI?
I am.
But we're on the same page with that. I know I'm kind of sick of talking about AI a little bit because right now it's a lot of the same type of conversation. I think the same thing is what happened with metaverse type topics. We're ready to see those conversations come to fruition rather than just talk about them yet. So I think in the next year, we're going to be seeing people at conferences or just through the podcasts. We're going to be talking about the hard market maybe starting to shift a little bit, I hope. I think we've spent enough time on the edge of going, oh, crap, yeah, we are in a hard market and trying to fix the faults of what occurred that we're going to start, oh, I don't want to say the words new normal. Nobody ever loves to hear those. But I think this happened early in my career around 2007 when some of those wind hail deductibles started that weren't typically present in the past. It was a new thing. Like, oh my gosh, be careful and avoid the companies that were adding wind hail deductibles back in 2007 as a way to shore up the market a little bit. The roofs are now, they're starting to put ACV and stuff like that on them instead of replacement costs. That was a thing around the 2007, 2008, 2009 carriers stopping business and then restarting with these new measures in place. And it was like a shocker. Don't go to that company because they put this in place. Well, now it's the normal thing. We expect to see wind hail deductibles at a percent, right? We expect to be talking to our clients about their 10-year-old roofs and we're starting to... And I'm talking about as that evolved, it became normal. So I think now what we're going to start seeing is talking about, okay, we're past the shock of what happened in this hard market and what some of the issues were. And now it's the normal thing. We're not going back. This will never be the same as it was. So let's move forward and restart the business. And I think maybe that's what we're going to start to see. We're going to see more conversations about the uptick that's happening. Because business is starting to pick back up again. At least I hope.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. I think we're going to see some more conversations too in terms of the tech space. I think we're going to see some more conversations that are underlying of how the tech needs to truly understand what caused the problem before reaching the solution. I think we've seen a lot of tech fail because they might not have spent a lot of time understanding the underlying issue as much as they saw a problem and had a solution, but that solution's not exactly addressing why that problem occurred or what the output of what we needed to be. So hopefully we'll see some more conversations around that too.
I agree. I think, especially in the insurtech space, I was just having this conversation the other day. I remember when we first started talking about digital marketing, and like the marketing departments would have their own vertical for digital marketing in addition to old school marketing. And now digital marketing is just marketing. And so we made this word up called insurtech to talk about how technology is going to impact the insurance industry. And now it's just like the way we do business, right? Technology is integrated into the way we do business. Some folks are a little bit more legacy than others, but we're all using technology to push us forward. And because of the macroeconomics over the last year or so too, the technology is either going to survive or it's not, right? And to your point, the folks that really understood the core of the problem before they solved it will be the ones that survive. And, right. And those that didn't probably won't be. But I'm excited to hear a little bit more about that too. Because obviously Coder kind of lives, we kind of teeter on that line between, you know, carrier and technology. Well, thanks for your takes on that. I think it's always interesting to predict like what's the new buzzword going to be for the next year. And you and I are both really sick of Gen AI. So let's talk about something
new. From our perspective, from an educational perspective, the next buzzword is the micro learning. It's the micro reading and getting those topics into agents, into carriers, into maybe even the tech space to educate them in the way that we consume information. Now we don't sit down for hours and read long, you know, dissertations about things. We consume in bite-sized chunks. So that's kind of the next buzzword in our space, in my space, in the insurance education space. It's about the bite-sized, consumable, micro-reading, micro-education kind of stuff.
Yes. It's absolutely needed. We've become humans with low attention spans, but also for instant gratification. So it's
right.
It's a fun
thing. Things you have on your desk right now that are like 25% started.
Yeah.
Low attention span before you move on to the next thing, right?
Oh, too funny. Well, so talk a little bit about, I feel like you've done a great job in your role, like pushing forward insurance education, you know, just including what we just talked about, right? But you know, staying active on social media, building your brand, you're getting pulled in like 90 directions, like understanding insurance coverage form language, plus, you know, LinkedIn posts and Instagram and podcast recordings, you know. Being a human and having a family and in your career, talk about like how you manage all of that stuff and how you work in time to, you know, market for yourself. And then also time just to, you know, rest and address the burnout prevention techniques that we all need to probably spend a little bit more time on.
I have this superpower called ADHD. Wow. Yeah. And then I'm also sitting here like, I know I have cameras in my house. How do you know all of that? How do you do all that? Yeah, it's a lot, but honestly, and there's a, you know, especially around COVID, there was a lot of, you know, work-life balance talk. And, you tend to jump on the train with that dialogue at first until it sits with you long enough to be like, I'm not really actually sure I like that verbiage. I don't think it's work-life balance for me. I think it's work-life integration because I love what I do. What I do is not a job. It's what I choose to do. Like my husband, when he decompresses, he loves to sit down and play video games. I love to actually sit here and put different puzzle pieces of our industry together and figure out what that means to me. When I was in the agency, I loved sitting down and solving the next issue for my client or making sure that I had, you know, the right information in the right space on the proposal for the client, you know, kind of thing. So that was my video game. Integrating all of that into my family life because there is no desegmentation of it. It just all integrates in evenly. And I think that accidentally happened even from the very beginning. My first child, she was with me if she needed to be. I did not want to rely on others. So it was like, I'm going to bring her to the office, and my office space is going to hopefully be okay with that. And it, sometimes they were and sometimes they weren't, but it integrated in it. So I think that kind of was ingrained in me from the beginning. And I think all of everything that I do now is kind of the same. It all works together. They're all in my mind. If I visualize it, it's all a bunch of gears that if you take one out, the rest of them are going to stop functioning. You can put new gears in and that builds on a whole different circuitry that happens. But if you take one of them out after you've already built it in, you're going to have to rework everything. And so everything to me just kind of integrates. It's when I'm, like I said, the way we come up with the topics on the podcast happens to be from just what I do on a daily basis. Yeah. As I'm talking to faculty or participants or people within our company, or I'm reaching back out to agents that I've worked with my entire insurance life. It's the same with the social media. Like, as I'm doing the podcast, how can I not be proud of what we're doing? Otherwise, I'm not doing the right thing. So I'm going to post about it. Or as I'm traveling, something hits me and I need to share my perspective. Also, the other reason why I share on social media is because I kind of have a bad memory and I love to see Facebook memories come back up and go, oh yeah, I totally forgot I did that. So it reminds me of what my life has been like. So it's just all integrated. It's not an, honestly, I wish I could say that it's super intentional. I wish I could point to something and say, do this, do that, do this, but it's not. It just happens to be what I do in my life that felt right at the moment. And that's how it built. And that's why I also say, like, what are you talking about brand? It's just me. And whatever that builds itself into being, I guess, is how I feel at the moment about showing up in my space and in the space of others. So,
yeah. Well, what I can say just from, you know, observations, your brand from my perspective is you figured out a way to make insurance fun and maybe slightly awkward enough and quirky enough for folks to want to pay attention to it. And if that's you, that's amazing. Because I just, We're selling contracts, right? It's not fun. And people typically don't engage with us until something goes wrong, which is also not fun. Yeah. But we are also just this integrated network of a whole bunch of people who care about insurance in the industry. And you just figure out a way to, you know, draw attention to it in a way that's been different. And I've really appreciated it. And like, even your Facebook group, I'm in it. And just some of the random thoughts that come from you, it might be part of your superpower of ADHD, but like,
sorry, did you follow the one about putting the slide on my deck? That was the most fun. Oh gosh.
So much fun. But yeah, I just love it. And the fact that it's not intentional just makes you, your brand more genuine. So yeah, kudos to you.
Well, I think that's really, honestly, everything you just said, I think that's really where the tech is missing the boat.
Yeah.
In that it's trying to replace workflows and everything else. But in that space, I know there's a lot of people that are like, oh, tech or AI is going to replace agents or this or that. But in the long run, it's really not. It's going to give us more space to do exactly what you just said, to be authentic, to connect, because that's the way insurance works. Unfortunately, when you build an integration that helps claims go faster or whatever, the real kicker to a claim process is the emotional aspect of it. When somebody goes through a claim, that's hard crap. Like their stuff just got destroyed or somebody's passed away, or heck, if somebody bumps into my car right now, I am an emotional wreck because it's my favorite car. I love the color. I don't care about the payment, to be honest with you. I want to know that the paint color is going to get turned back to what it should be, right? And tech can't do that for me. No. Tech can't assure me that the paint color is going to come out the right way. and that's where we as people, that's where we're always going to come into play in this industry. So.
Yeah, I agree. It's really, it's all about the feels, right?
It really is.
How you make people feel, not necessarily always what you're doing. And to your point, the tech can't always, or most of the time, can't solve for the feels.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you the question that I asked everyone in last season because it's my favorite. I just want to wrap up and understand from you, what would be your walk-up song if you were an MLB player? Like, you're walking up to the diamond, you're going to bat, like, you want to get all hyped up. Like, what's your song?
Oh my gosh.
You can say anything inappropriate too.
And the only song that is coming to my mind right now, because I was totally not ready for this, is "It's Getting Hot in Here." Oh my gosh.
It is a really good song. It also like dates us because we both like it. So everybody knows exactly about how.
Listen, as soon as this podcast ends, I'm going to be like, dang it, I should have said this. I am the worst when it comes to naming like artists and song names. I just, when it comes to being awkward, you have no idea how much my producer cuts out, because when somebody says something, I break out into these little random songs because that's what happens. And he's like, there she goes again. That's why the other person's still talking. And I'm like, get it out in here. Like, it's so much. Or my kid, you know, walks through and the dog's got something and she says, drop it. And I'm like, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. I think that might be it, to be honest, is drop it like it's hot. It might even be Miley Cyrus's newer one, Flowers. And I've been singing that one for the last several days. I can buy myself flowers. And I'm here for it. I don't know. I'm just going to walk out in silence and see what happens.
I love it. Oh, well, Dustin, great to have you. Thanks for being awkward with us.
Thanks for having me so much, Bobby. I really appreciate it. And here's the awkward part where you say thanks 1,000 times because you're trying to wrap up the podcast and you're not really sure what to say next. I mean, it happens to me too all the time. I'm like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks. Yes, thanks. It's great to have you. Sure, thanks. You say bye. No, you hang up.
Coterie is continuously innovating to bring our partners and agents the best solution for their small commercial book of business. Check out our producers' resources page by clicking the link in the show notes below.